Science and technology.
Cell engineering. Beta testing. Gene editing may yield a new treatment for type 1 diabetes.
Where are the islets of Langerhans? Is many a quizzer's favourite trick question. The answer is to be found not on the globe, but in the body. For the islets are clusters of cells scattered through the pancreas. There they synthesise and release a range of hormones, including insulin, which regulates glucose levels and thus metabolism. The islet's insulin producers are called beta cells and are the only bodily sources of that hormone. So if their number declines, trouble looms. And decline it does, in the condition known as type 1 diabetes. This happens when, in a phenomenon called autoimmunity, the body's own immune system attacks its complement of beta cells, wiping out as many as 80%. Without an alternative supply of insulin, someone with type 1 diabetes will die. In type 2 diabetes, insulin production continues, but the body's cells acquire resistance. More can be administered by injection or via a device called an insulin pump, but a better way might be to replace the missing beta cells and somehow protect them from immune attack. A few lucky patients do indeed have their beta cells replaced by transplants from human donors. And Vertex Pharmaceuticals, a firm in Boston, is testing beta cells grown from stem cells for the same purpose. But neither approach includes immune protection. This means both require the administration of immunosuppressive drugs. One of the sessions at this year's AAAS meeting therefore looked into how transplanted beta cells might be made hypoimmunogenic, in other words, invisible to a patient's immune system. Sonja Schrepfer, who works for the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF, and also at Seattle-based Sana Biotechnology, proposes a twofold approach, one for each so-called arm of the immune system. The first, the adaptive arm, is responsible for tissue rejection. It does this by recognizing the signature of selfness provided by an individual's HLA proteins, which contain so-called hypervariable regions unique to their hosts. If the immune system comes across non-self HLA proteins, it recognizes the cells displaying them as interlopers and attacks, using shock troops called killer T cells and antibodies. The first part of Dr. Schrepfer's approach is therefore to prevent the production of HLA proteins in laboratory-grown beta cells destined for transplant. This can be done by editing two genes involved in their production, theoretically rendering the cells invisible to the adaptive arm. Lack of HLA proteins does, however, bring a cell to the attention of immunity's other arm, the innate system. Its troops are called NK, natural killer cells, and macrophages which swarm in the absence of any sort of HLA. They can, however, be warded off by overexpression of a protein called CD47, something that Dr. Schrepfer's team also successfully engineered in beta cells. It seems to work. In an experiment whose results were announced just before the meeting, the team first induced diabetes in a laboratory monkey and then injected their modified beta cells into one of its muscles. The diabetes went away and stayed away for more than 6 months. Now they've moved on to people. In a trial about to start at Uppsala University Hospital in Sweden, human versions of the modified cells will be transplanted into the forearm of a single patient. Disrupting beta cells' HLA expression is not the only possible approach to deflecting the adaptive immune system. Hasna Marchi of the Technical University of Munich in Germany described to the meeting how she and her mentor, Matthias Heybrock, are trying to develop an alternative. This introduces a third party, called a suppressor cell, to do the warding off. Suppressor cells talk to the killer T cells and calm them down. Dr. Heybrock's group is therefore working with Wendell Lim of UCSF, who's engineering suppressor cells specifically activated by a protein on the surface of beta cells to devise some beta cell protection. In this case, there's no need to build in a level of protection against the innate immune system, since it won't notice anything wrong. The Heybrock group is also, Dr. Marchi explained, working on a way to turbocharge beta cells. This involves a protein called MAFA, which regulates expression of the insulin gene. Suppressed levels of MAFA are a symptom of type 1 diabetes, so boosting its presence seemed a promising approach. So far, the researchers have shown that raising MAFA levels in beta cells derived from stem cells seems to increase the amount of insulin produced. Figures presented by Laurie Sussell of the University of Colorado suggest that one in 500 Americans has type 1 diabetes. Hundreds of millions elsewhere are likewise affected. That is both a great deal of human suffering and a tempting market for whoever can come up with something which resembles a cure rather than a treatment. Though there is a way to go yet, hypoimmunogenic beta cells might just possibly bring that closer.